There are some days that you just wonder if you're really cut out for this homeschool mom thing. And then we add on just the motherhood, the parenting of our children. And today we are going to dive headlong here, straight into it, which is very appropriate, those terms for this discussion today, about raising boys. You are a homeschool mom and you have these amazing little boys in your house that are so full of energy and vitality, and you know that they are going to do some really great things. But right now, you're just feeling confused by their behavior. You're wondering if you are going to make it through. You're wondering if you're going to be able to keep them alive through these years of raising them. Today, I am so blessed to be able to share with you the time I got to sit down recently with Dorinda Wilson, and we talked all about raising boys. And I know this episode is just, you're going to feel good, so good after listening to her encouragement. So keep listening here, my friend. Welcome to Little by Little Homeschool Podcast, where you'll learn tips and strategies that will empower you to home educate your children. I'm Lee Nguyen, a homeschool mom of over 12 years, which includes two graduates. When I started homeschooling, I was pretty much on my own and was desperate for encouragement and help. My mission is to be a source of encouragement and help to you. Whether you are just beginning your homeschool journey or you're deep into the homeschool lifestyle, Little by Little Homeschool wants to help you stay the course, because all the time you are investing into your children is completely worth it. If you're ready to take your homeschool to new levels, keep listening. Welcome to today's episode, friends. As I told you in the intro, I've got a very special guest here today, and I just feel so blessed for this conversation. So welcome to the podcast, Dorinda Wilson.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited about today's conversation.
Me too. Can we start off? I'm sure that a lot of the audience members know who you are, but just in case, or maybe just to kind of remind them of exactly who you are, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm married to Daryl, and we've been married for 34 years, and we have 8 kids, ages 19 to almost 33. We have 11 grandkids. So 5 of our 8 kids are boys, and 7 of our 11 grandkids are boys as well. We also have been homeschooling for over 30 years, and I've written a few books, and I have a podcast, and just really enjoy encouraging moms.
Well, I can tell you, one of the moms that I have been encouraged by you, by your books and by your podcast. I feel like if I go for a walk, I like to listen to podcasts, and I feel like I have just a wise homeschool mother in my ears just listening. And I feel like, yes, I can continue to do this. So you've encouraged me as well in your podcast and your books. But today we're going to focus a bit on boys.
Yes.
And yes, the mystery
of the boys.
It's
one of my favorite
boys.
Topics, actually.
They're very interesting, especially
they
to us moms.
They are. They're a mystery sometimes.
They are. And sometimes you just look and you're like, what is going on? And sometimes you're just like, I don't even need to know. I'm just going to kind of step back a little bit. So
exactly.
What are some things that moms should expect from boys?
Well, I think expectations are, it's really wise to have, I guess, realistic expectations of boys because they are so different from us. And I think this is something that I shared in my new book, but just some of the things that I go through. And I'm sure as I go through this list or finish it up, some moms are going to be out there going, I could add to that. And I'm sure you could. But here are some basics, okay? You can expect to be grossed out, okay? It's just going to happen. It is going to happen. And, you know, our job, of course, is over time, slowly, to teach our boys to read the room, the time, the place for this kind of activity. But we get to decide that as moms. I always like to make sure moms know that, like, they are going to gross us out, but it's our job to teach them discernment. Also, they're going to push boundaries. And again, we get to decide what those boundaries are, the time and the place, like roughhousing and things like that. And we need to keep those boundaries secure, and but also be ready for reasonable, respectful compromises, because sometimes they have some really great alternative ideas that are a good compromise. To expect to laugh a lot. I think boys are hilarious, and they love to be goofy, and they love it when we as moms are goofy with them. It actually makes them feel valued, and it's really bonding. You can also expect to go to the emergency room. Hopefully, that doesn't sound like too much of a bummer or too scary, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen because boys need to do dangerous things. And I often like to tell moms, like, one of your biggest jobs is to keep them alive. Don't interpret that as a helicopter mom, but just know that they need to do dangerous things and be ready to, you know, go to the emergency room if necessary. But it's going to happen. And so it's not a failure as a mom, is what I'm saying, if you have to take your son to the emergency room. You didn't fail as a parent. Also, lots of physical activity. You can expect that from boys. And this is a feature, not a bug, in our boys. And I think it's so important for moms to understand that. It can be frustrating and it can be overwhelming sometimes, but it's our job to teach them how to direct that energy, or our job to help them direct that energy. And I talk a lot about that in the book, but they're also going to want to be independent. There's just times they don't want to be with us. They want to be with other boys or with dad and do guy things. And that's okay. Expect them to not like showers. Sometimes when you get, you know, when you get a kid who's in the teen years and maybe all of a sudden he becomes very aware of girls, that could change. But overall, they typically don't really care what they smell like or look like, for that matter. Also remember and expect that they're going to develop more slowly than girls their age, especially early on. And they will catch up, but they definitely do it at their own pace, in their own timing. And also, I think something really important to remember as they're going into the teen years is that they're going to lose a part of their brains as they approach puberty, because the reason is that their bodies are working really hard to grow from a boy to a man. And so this is something that, these are conversations I had with our boys as they, you know, maybe at 10, 11, they were so good at remembering their chores. And I was like, yes, you know, you feel like such a success as a mom. He's doing it. He's following through. I hardly ever have to remind him. And then all of a sudden, he can't remember to do it to save his life. So then you got to walk that journey of letting them know what's happening. Like, your body is changing, and this is why you're forgetting. You're still responsible for this task, but we're going to try to show a little more grace, but you still need to make sure that you're doing it. Let them know that this is part of the journey from a boy to a man. It's nothing they don't need to be ashamed of, because sometimes, especially oldest kids, they will really be hard on themselves. And so we have to be sure that we're saying, you know, this is part of your journey and I'm right there with you. I'm on your team. You're going to be fine. This will pass. But in the meantime, we're just going to have to, you know, you're going to have to be extra vigilant and maybe having things put in place to help you stay consistent with your chores. And I don't mind reminding you every now and then. But the point is to let them own that part of their journey with their dignity intact. That's just something I think is so important. So those are just some things that you can expect from boys.
As you're going through that list, I'm picturing my boys, because they're 16 and 19. I'm picturing mm-hmm. them as toddlers, preschoolers, elementary, right. middle, high school, and even now. So I have high schooler mm-hmm. and a young man graduated from right. high school. And I'm like, these all still apply. Like, almost, I mean, well, the shower thing, they've gotten better because we've gotten right. to that point. We've gotten to right. the point where they, you know, do kind of care. But in between showers, they don't care if they smell, you know, if it's just at home, you know,
exactly.
kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm like, yes, yes. And I love this list, because I really could have used that list, not thinking that mine were, you know, defective or something right. like that, or something was wrong.
Right.
But I grew up with brothers, so I kind of had a little bit of an insight. But the
that
hilarious,
helps.
But last, like the part that you said about them being funny, it is so true. I've never laughed so much as I have
I
with
know.
My boys.
It's
so let's
true.
Go back and talk about them just being physical and the activity. So should moms be concerned if their boys are aggressive?
Well, you know, I think that is really something that's on a lot of moms' hearts as they're watching their boys and they're thinking, what is happening here? And I think this is an important topic to cover, because boys are so different than us. And that aggression, again, is a feature, not a bug. They were wired by their creator towards aggressiveness. And you know, it's a sliding scale. You definitely have boys who are like, woo, over the top aggressive. And you've got boys who are maybe more sensitive and far less aggressive. There's definitely a sliding scale. But I think that aggressiveness is enough. It's at a level in most boys that it helps moms see the difference between girls and boys. And they see that aggressiveness and they notice it. And it's related back to the fact that God has wired them to build, to lead, to protect, to provide, and to conquer. They need that aggression to do those things. And you know, in terms of boys wrestling and things like that, I heard once this guy who wrote, it's called The Minds of Boys. I like only read one chapter in the book, and it was I think it's the best thing I could have ever read out of the whole book. But he basically said, you know how we like to get together and have coffee and talk and it fills our cup, it bonds us. Well, beating the tar out of each other and wrestling and competing and all of that, that is how boys bond. See, they get the exact same thing from it. I could not relate to that when I read it, but boy, was that helpful knowing that that was part of how they're wired. And I think the culture does not appreciate aggression because we aren't running for our lives anymore. Like, we live in a very comfortable, we have culture, we have so many conveniences. And, you know, back in the day, even 100 years ago, women and children were far more vulnerable. They needed men to protect them and to provide for them. They still do need that. It's just not as acknowledged because, like I said, we have so many conveniences and resources now. But we do need men to be men. We need men who are willing to fight against the moral and political overreach that is, like, it's hell-bent on destroying families. We see it all around us. And we need men who are kind and understand how to help the helpless, but they're not afraid to wage war when necessary because they love what and who they're fighting for. G.K. Chesterton said, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what's in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." And this is part of the nature of our boys. And as moms, as parents, we are not called just to raise nice guys. You know, that seems to be sort of like the general consensus, you know, that guys need to be more like girls because being a guy is bad and masculinity is really bad. You know, it's just this trend to just hate anything masculine or manly. But God isn't calling us just to raise nice guys. He's calling us to raise warriors and dragon slayers. We need that aggression, but it has to be directed properly. You know, and it's our job as parents to teach our boys how to do that. And then it becomes incredibly powerful.
Yeah, because you think about the little boys wrestling around and you think, okay, what are they going to knock over? What are they going to break? Right? The lamp, or they're going to end up in the emergency room because they're going to hit their head. But they don't become a protector of women and children just suddenly. And and I have found that you have teaching them when to turn that on and when to turn that off.
Right.
When is the time to step in and when is the time that, you know, you don't need to step in. We don't need wrestling here in the grocery store. Do you know what I mean? Right. Nobody needs protection. The bananas don't need protection or anything.
Exactly.
And yeah. But just getting it out, like, their bodies they're just so physical. Boys are just
They really are. They really are. And I explain it in my new book, the level of testosterone is so much higher. I think as men, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000% higher. And so that begins to really, it's already in them when they're born, but it really begins to elevate as they hit the teen years. And so that's why sometimes they do what we would call stupid things, you know, and so natural consequences tend to be the best teacher in those situations, which is a little bit of a diversion from what we were talking about. But again, that aggression, that kind of thing can, it's often coming from a place of trying to build, lead, protect, provide, conquer, but they're doing it ill-timed or they're not doing it well. And like you said, we need to teach them discernment. When is the time and the place for this, that, and the other thing? And so we as parents get to guide them and teach them that. And once they know that, there's so much powerful, productive work that can be done and changes even in our culture that can happen when our boys understand that.
Let's go back to how you kind of talked a little bit about boundaries and us as parents kind of leading them and guiding them. So explain a little bit more about why boundaries are so important for our boys.
Well, I think that, because they are aggressive and because they tend to want to build, lead, protect, provide, and conquer, again, like we just said, we need to put boundaries in place so they learn how to do that well. By nature, they want to lead. Funny story that I love to tell is there were different times while the kids were growing up, especially when the boys were teens, that we'd be going along in our day. And all of a sudden I would think something's not right. And I would realize that I was actually doing what the boys were telling me to. I was letting them lead. I was taking my orders from them. And I was no longer in charge. And so I would just say to them, you know, I appreciate the fact that you guys want to lead and protect and do these things. Like, you want to lead a family, you want to lead people. That's a great thing. That is a God-given thing. But this really isn't the time for that. This is the time for you. You're in training right now. You're in training so that you can be a good leader. And obviously, I would give them opportunities to lead and do some of those kinds of things and to make decisions, especially in the teen years as we're moving them toward adulthood. But, you know, in the overall day-to-day rhythms, I was still in charge and they needed to know that. So I had to reiterate that to them. I had to say, you know, I love that you want to do this. And someday you'll have your own family and your own team or whatever to lead. I am not that family. I'm not that wife. I already have a husband. You're not it. And just to sort of clarify, these are the roles at the moment. Someday that's going to change. But fulfilling those roles right now is actually going to lead you to be able to do that better. So we want them to be good leaders. But they have to first go through the training that scripture describes. You know, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother so that it will go well with you. And I think I would always say to them, that means the reverse is also true. So if you don't honor your father and mother, it is not going to go well with you. And then we would always, when we looked at discipline, we tried to, there's basically two types of discipline or two, I guess, forms of discipline, biblical discipline. So I'll give you an example. So discipline is about training. It is not about, it's not punitive. It's not punishing. It's not, oh, you did this, now you have to pay the piper, you know, because for me as a Christian, you know, and for my family, we believe that Jesus took care of our sins. And so he took that punishment. So God isn't punishing us, but he does train us and discipline us. It says that very clearly in scripture. And so two kinds of discipline as we're parenting. There's the discipline where I'll give you the same situation and you'll see how they're different. So there's a young man, his mom has told him, I need you to chop that wood out there, split it and stack it. And he kind of just takes his time throughout the week and he doesn't actually get it done because she says, I want it done by the end of the week. He doesn't get it done. So the end of the week comes and they've got some fun things planned for the weekend and mom talks to dad and dad says, okay, well, we're going to go do these fun things and you're going to stay here and split wood because you didn't take care of your responsibilities. You don't get the privileges. So there's this natural consequence for a poor choice. Now, same scenario, but dad is out cutting wood and he calls his son out. Come on out here and split wood with me. And the son says, are you punishing me? Do I have to come out here because I did something wrong? And he says, no, this is a skill that I believe that you need to learn and you need to practice in order to get good at it. So let's do this together. So that's a different kind of training where we see that there's a skill or something down the road that they're going to need. And so we're going to give them practice at it. I called them training sessions, especially if there was some behavior that was, they weren't getting it. I was saying, no, you don't do this. You need to do this. For example, we had a basement and the boys' rooms were down there and they would come up the stairs. And as soon as they came up the stairs, they would slam the door every single time. All day long, I would be like, don't slam the door. Don't slam the door. Finally, it's like, they're not getting it. So every time they came up, I said, as soon as they slammed the door, I said, okay, hold it. You need to open and close the door 20 times quietly. We're changing a habit. And so, you know, just that's another kind of that's that sort of training kind of discipline. So I think when we understand that, it helps us parent better, especially with our boys and to keep those boundaries. What we want is we want to teach our boys and our kids to self-regulate. And boys sometimes need extra help with that because of their aggression and their energy and all of that.
I'm over here nodding my head and saying, yep, I remember doing some of those same, I'm still doing that sometimes, like the go back and do it the right way, the nice way, don't slam the door, but I'm laughing extra. I won't tell my, well, maybe I should tell my boys, you made them do it 20 times. I made them do it one time.
Well, sometimes it's like repetition that actually changes the behavior. If you only make them do it once, sometimes it still just doesn't sink in. And boys, a lot of times, like with boundaries, you have to be firm. And, you know, obviously, we don't want to be a tyrant, but at the same time, understand that boys are always basically asking three questions all the time. And if they're not getting answered, they're probably provoking or doing something naughty that they shouldn't. Okay. The three questions are, who's in charge? Who's on my team? And what's our mission? What are we doing? You know? And so,
great.
Yeah. So if you see them sort of floundering, there's probably at least one of those questions, maybe all three, that they're wondering about. So often, like with boundaries, we have to reemphasize, I'm in charge.
Yes. And especially as they get older and they're teens and they become bigger than you. And
right.
It's I remember my mom. So I had three younger brothers who are all very tall. And she got to the point with them. She would make them sit down when she would have to have a serious conversation. Cause she's like, you can't be standing there, you know, like waving your finger. She didn't wave her finger, but
looking
like,
up.
looking up a foot taller than you to, you know, this young man. So she'd make them sit down. So we'd be a little bit more eye to eye. And I took that same advice when we needed to sit and have a serious conversation is for them to sit. And I would sit too, but just so that we were kind of more eye to eye as opposed to me having to look up.
Yeah. It's amazing how those little things can help engage them a little bit more in that conversation. That was really wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
It worked for her. So I was like, it worked for her.
And yep.
She kept them under control. So,
right.
So we're talking about some different challenges. So what are some of the biggest challenges for mom specifically when it comes to boys?
Well, I think respecting the God-given nature of boys and directing their energy in productive directions. I heard a wise mom once say that her main job as a mom of boys is to employ and exhaust. And I couldn't agree more. They have to be kept busy. Now, that doesn't mean that you're planning every hour of their day. I feel like for our family, what it looked like was there was directed learning, teaching, that kind of thing in the morning with homeschooling. And some of that was even self-directed, especially as they got older. But in the afternoon, they had self-directed time. And so they kept their energy going out in productive ways that they were coming up with, ways that they were initiating. This is how they found their hobbies. Some of them found their careers through that time that they had every day. And I think the other big challenge for moms is to not parent emotionally. Emotions are wonderful. They're a gift from the Lord. And I believe that as women, they really do serve us well in many ways because they help us nurture the way that God intended us to nurture. And they do make a great warning light, but they often make a terrible GPS. So we have to be super careful that we're not parenting emotionally. So when I talk about parenting emotionally, it's reactive parenting versus responsive parenting. I did a podcast episode on this a while ago. But it's basically like you're coming at this discipline or correction or whatever in this parenting from a place of calm, a place of peace, a place of I know where I'm going, I know what my role is, and I know what he's supposed to be doing and be able to communicate that to him in as few words as possible, which is another topic. But to understand that parenting is any child emotionally is not going to go well. So you've got the responsive versus the reactive, where fear is driving you. You're talking. It's getting nowhere. We're threatening. We're not following through. Those are all reactive ways to parent. So we don't want to parent emotionally. Boys will not respect an emotional parenting approach. I'm telling you, they just won't. And they do some crazy, unexpected things, some embarrassing things. It's going to happen. I should have put that on the list too. You know, we're going to be embarrassed at some point by our sons. It's going to happen. So our job is, again, to respond, not to react. I think the other challenges have to do with just the things that the culture is communicating about boys and about men in general. I think the culture and the church are in a crisis when it comes to masculinity, and we're being lied to in all kinds of ways about gender and masculinity. And I told someone the other day, you know, this whole gender thing, it's not going to last because I heard this pastor say once, and I think he's totally right, stupidity is not sustainable. It is so foolish. It is such foolishness, and it's causing damage. It's going to cause damage for sure because some people are buying into it, but it's not going to last. So what we want to do is not get too hung up in the weeds with that, but really focus on raising our boys to be biblically masculine, because it's become trendy to hate men. And moms know, like, they know there are differences, but they are really struggling to reconcile, you know, what they know to be true about their boys and what the culture and even the church sometimes are telling them, you know, that being male is bad, being masculine is even worse. And so we need to just push back against that by continually doing what is best for our sons, in spite of what, you know, we're seeing all around us, and just understanding that what we're raising are, again, warriors and dragon slayers. These are men who are going to make a difference in our culture. And I feel so encouraged, because as I've been writing this book, I've been connected to so many moms of boys. And I'm thinking, if they move forward raising this next generation of boys in droves like this, according to, you know, more biblical and truly healthy masculine ways, going to change our culture for the good, for the good. And so I'm kind of excited. I know it's challenging, but oh my goodness. Also, just know that, you know, God gave you these boys intentionally. And so you're the one that is to be their mom, and you can totally do this.
And I think that, I mean, all of that was a gold mine, but I think also the fact that we get to homeschool, we get to be with them, and we get to direct them. We get to give them missions. We get to give them the time and the space to get out the energy, and they're not having to be stuck in a classroom and being labeled something. They have this opportunity. And so, yes, I want to reiterate too that, yes, we've been given these boys, and you know your boys better than anybody else does. And I'm also very optimistic, like you are, about the changes just with the moms that I get to interact with, just that they are just doing things differently than the culture's telling them to.
And there's going to go ahead.
No, there's just going to be, we don't need to have this big conflict. We can just do the right thing at home that we need to do, and it will change the culture. And you're at the other, a little further down the road than I am. And I'm just seeing the fruit of all of that time of putting into them, giving them missions and learning how to be a mom to boys and getting to see the fruit now of just that they can be a lot different than the culture. And I attribute that part of that to homeschooling and the fact that they're with us all the time. And I do want to confirm here that boys do not respond to emotional discipline, direction, moms. They don't even know what to do. They like freeze. I mean, think about our husbands when we just are like start bawling about all kinds of things. And they're like a deer in headlights. Like they're like, all I did was walk in with a bowl of ice cream. Do you know what I mean? And you're, you know, like they don't even know what it is. So boys who aren't as in tune wouldn't necessarily know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Everything you said, spot on. Absolutely spot on. Yeah. And I think that keeping your head down and just keep moving forward, doing what you know is right with your sons. And so I specifically talk to moms because I feel like that's my place. I'm more like a mentor, and I mentor moms. I don't feel like my place is to speak to men. However, throughout my book, I talk about how important the male role model is in the life of the boys. Like, we as moms need to be going to our husbands. You know, I know that there are some single moms out there, and if you have a man, you trust a godly man in your church or an elder or somebody that you can go to ask these questions. But along the way, as you run into these obstacles with your son, instead of trying to figure it out and just being like, I don't know what's going on for an extended period of time, go to your husband, ask him, what's going on? He did this and this, and then he said this. And 9 times out of 10, my husband would be like, oh, that's because he's thinking this. Oh, I would have never thought of that. So although moms are incredibly important in the life of a boy, part of the reason that they're important is because they also understand that they're not built like the boy, and they need help in raising the boy and knowing how to move him towards manhood.
We were just talking about a similar situation in my house just the other night about my youngest. And I just remember saying to my husband, I was like, I was saying, I think we need to take him to an ear doctor. He just doesn't, he's not hearing me. And he's like, oh no, he hears you. He just his ears are fine.
He's not listening.
Yeah, he's not listening. And I was like, okay, so I had to learn how to break through. I used to call it the fog that would be around them, and how you said just little words. I remember I was like, okay, three words. Like, what is the most important things I need to say? And just like break through the fog, say those three words, and then they would go and do it and it would be absolutely fine. But it was just kind of breaking through. So you've mentioned a couple of times about your new book. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where the listeners can connect with you and go forward and learn more from you about raising boys?
Yeah. Well, the book is called Raising Boys to Men, a simple, mercifully short book on raising and homeschooling boys. It's only about 100 pages, so it's a pretty quick read, but I think it's pretty packed with information and help for moms of boys. And so you can find that book at my website, dorindawilson.com. You can find it on Amazon. If you order it March 5th or 6th, which are the first 2 days that it's out and available, you actually get free access to the Unhurried Homeschooler audiobook, which that is a fun little, another simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling that is an $8.99 value. And the Raising Boys to Men is just $12. So you get quite a bit there for your $12. So if you're ordering on those days, there we'll leave a link in the show notes that you can redeem. You're going to go there, click on that thing, and you're going to put in your receipt number, and then you'll get the audio book. But yes, so that's where you can get it.
Perfect. I will put that link in the show notes. And then otherwise, you have a podcast as well.
I do. Okay. I have the Dorinda Wilson podcast. It's out on most major platforms, so it's not too hard to find. And it's just a place where I love to encourage moms in motherhood, being a wife, a homemaker, homeschooling, obviously boys, parenting, all of that. So we've just hit 500 episodes and 3 million downloads, which is just a shocker to me.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
The numbers completely reflect the amount of intention and just the encouragement that you put out into that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It just makes me laugh because I'm that person who comes out here. I do the little podcast. I have some notes with me that I've written and prayed over and all that. And then I go back in the house and I fold laundry and I make dinner. And, you know, so I find it quite amazing and miraculous that it's gone out to that many people. And I'm thankful that I can bring that encouragement to them.
Yes. And I encourage you, the listener, to listen in. And I will drop that link in the show notes as well. So, Dorinda, this has been such a blessing for me and I know to the listener, too. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
Dorinda is just such a blessing to the homeschool world and just to motherhood in general. And I just really pray that this episode has blessed you and it blessed me. So I know that it's going to bless you. And I have older boys and you are right here, though, now in the trenches with little ones. And everything that she said, you are saying, yep. And like she said, you probably could add to the list of things as well. So this was a fun conversation and I'm glad that you listened in. But I want you also now to go check out her new book. I am going to link that in the show notes and all of the stuff. Be able to go and listen to her podcast. I want to encourage you to go and listen to her and to follow her more. So thank you for listening to this episode today, and I'll be right back here again on Thursday. Thank you for listening, friend. I'd love to connect with you more. You can find social media links in the show notes and share this episode with a friend who could use a boost to her homeschool. See you back here real soon.